Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to pull out the key stuff from interesting sources for you.
And today, we're looking at the experience of Vietnam War POWs.
That's right. We're focusing mainly on a YouTube transcript from the Military Tales channel called Episode 28 There and Back, The Charlie Plum Story.
Yeah, so the goal here is really to understand, what it was actually like being a POW there. The psychological side, definitely.
And also getting perspectives from, well, both sides. We even hear from a former captor in this material, which is fascinating. It all stems from this episode 28 source.
It really does. And what's interesting about using episode 28 as our base is how the story itself evolves. It starts off seemingly about one pilot, one plane.
Right. Charlie Plum, Navy fighter pilot, shot down. Seems like a straightforward, if grim, war story at first.
Exactly. He was captured in 67, held until 73. But as Plum tells his story in the episode, it just naturally expands.
Yeah, it becomes this wider picture of the POW experience in Vietnam. You start seeing the common threads, the shared horrors, but also the resilience.
But then episode 28 goes even further, which I think is what makes it particularly compelling. It follows Plum back to Vietnam years later.
And his encounters there, especially meeting someone who was, on the other side during the war.
Yeah.
That adds a whole different layer.
It really shifts gears from just recounting the past suffering to looking at memory, how people deal with it, maybe reconciliation or the lack of it. It gets complex.
Okay, so let's dive into Plum's specific story as told in episode 28. He gets shot down May 19th, 1967, very close to Hanoi.
His target, according to the episode, was the Benzina truck park. And the context given about Hanoi then is, well, intense.
They call it the most heavily defended city in the world. Just saturated with anti-aircraft guns,
jammers,
surface air missiles.
Imagine flying into that. Just constant threat.
Yeah. But Plum actually had this almost counterintuitive take on being shot down near Hanoi, didn't he? As described in episode 28.
It did. He figured being close to the capital meant a quicker trip to a more established prison camp.
Right. Avoiding potentially weeks or months being dragged through the jungle, which could be even worse. A grim kind of logic.
It is. And the episode mentions, just as a side note, 8 F-4 Phantoms went down that same day. 8.
Incredible. And episode 28 gives some context for that, too. It was Ho Chi Minh's birthday.
Yeah, intelligence apparently suggested the North Vietnamese might be, less vigilant because of celebrations.
Which turned out to be completely wrong.
Yeah.
Tragically wrong. A real fog of war moment highlighted in the episode.
Definitely. So from the capture, episode 28 moves into what happened immediately after. The initial treatment, the code of conduct.
That standard procedure, right. Name, rank, serial number, date of birth. That's what they were trained to give based on the Geneva Conventions. That was the expectation.
But the reality, as Plum recounts and as was common, was very different. Under torture, under that kind of pressure, most gave more.
And episode 28 really hits on the guilt that followed. Immense guilt.
Plum talks about how some men felt they'd betrayed everything, even considered suicide. It's just heavy stuff, the psychological toll right from the start.
Which leads directly into how they endured the torture.
Yeah.
Episode 28 goes into Plum's mindset, his strategies.
Yeah, he talks about setting plateaus of pain. It's this mental technique, almost.
Explain that a bit. How did that work for him, according to the episode?
Well, he'd sort of acknowledge the current level of pain, tell himself, okay, I'm still alive. If it doesn't get worse than this, I can handle this, breaking it down.
And as the torture got worse, episode 28 mentions tightened ropes, dislocated shoulders, being hung from hooks. He'd just keep resetting that plateau.
Exactly, repeating that process. He also apparently made a conscious decision, as he says in the episode, to never believe he would die there. He feared it'd become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wow, that mental fortitude is incredible. And this connects to his philosophy mentioned in episode 28, right? Adversity is a horrible thing to waste.
Yes, and that there and back idea, with the crucial part being back is better than there.
That really sticks with you. Just surviving getting back, that's the victory, no matter what they're involved.
Absolutely. The episode also touches briefly on the weapon that likely brought him down.
He believed it was an SA-2 missile, a surface-to-air missile.
Right. And interestingly, episode 28 notes that later in the war, finding parts for those missiles got really difficult for the North Vietnamese.
Yeah, by 73, around the time of the peace treaty, they were apparently scavenging old parts to keep newer missiles functional. Supplies were clearly running low.
It suggests they were really stretched thin. Plum even speculates in the episode that if the U.S. had brought back the B-52s again, North Vietnam might have run out of missiles and supplies very quickly.
Interesting strategic point there in the episode. Okay, shifting focus slightly. Episode 28 talks about the guards. Their behavior wasn't always consistent.
No, Plum observed something quite specific. New guards, when they first arrived, sometimes showed flickers of humanity.
Like the story of Babyface in episode 28, this young guard who was almost kind initially.
Exactly. Might sneak him a cigarette, show a bit of empathy. But it never lasted.
What happened then, according to the episode?
After a few weeks, Babyface would vanish, presumably, for indoctrination, re-education, whatever you want to call it, and come back completely different, hardened, brutal, just like the others.
It suggests a deliberate process, turning people into tools of the system.
Yeah, Plum's description in the episode is chilling, like they could be turned on and off like a switch by their superiors.
And episode 28 doesn't gloss over the sheer physical hardship either.
Yeah.
Leg irons, for instance.
Oh, yeah. Brutal. Plum confirms being kept in them sometimes for, like, up to 3 months straight. Imagine that.
And the basic, awful reality of sanitation in that situation.
Episode 28 is very clear. Having to go to the bathroom while chained like that, the rashes, the filth, just complete degradation.
And the Vietnamese justification for this, as presented in the episode.
They basically said since war wasn't formally declared, the Geneva Conventions didn't fully apply, even though they'd signed them.
A convenient excuse to ignore basic humanity.
Pretty much. Which makes Plum's return trip, discussed later in episode 28, even more jarring. He goes back to the prison site.
And finds the torture rooms are now souvenir shops.
Yeah, souvenir shops. Episode 28 really conveys his shock at that. How history gets packaged, I guess.
It's surreal. And speaking of torture, episode 28 gives a pretty graphic description of one particular method, the hanging torture.
It sounds absolutely horrific. Shackles on the ankles, manacles binding the wrists behind the back.
That ropes used to wrench the body into this.
Yeah.
The episode quotes Plun calling it a human pretzel. Wrists forced up over the head, feet pulled towards the face.
And then being hung like that from a hook, just pure agony. The goal, episode 28 states plainly, was simply to break them and get information.
And the Vietnamese were clearly aware the prisoners were trying to communicate, weren't they? Episode 28 mentions efforts to stop that.
Definitely. They built a whole new camp designed specifically to isolate new arrivals for the first 48 hours to prevent them joining the network.
But the episode highlights how, despite everything, the prisoners did communicate.
Hmm.
About 150 of them who knew each other's details.
Their ingenuity was amazing. Episode 28 describes how they'd make tiny mirrors using bits of mahogany wood and earwax.
Earwax. Wow. To do what?
To signal through vent holes between cells, using things like deaf-mute code that's hand-signal semaphore, even Morse code flashed with the mirrors.
Incredible resourcefulness under duress. That determination to connect, it's a powerful theme in episode 28.
It really is. And reflecting on it all in the episode, Plum is very honest about the cost, the pain, frustration, loneliness, humiliation.
He doesn't downplay any of it. But episode 28 also shows him finding value in the experience, ultimately.
Yeah, it's complex. He says in the episode he believes it made him a better person, gave him a kind of confidence that he could face anything after surviving that.
And that nightly ritual mentioned in episode 28, tapping GBU.
God bless you. Tapped on the walls between cells. A sign-off, a prayer, a connection, a really moving detail.
It speaks volumes about the bonds they formed. Okay, so then episode 28 takes this really interesting turn when Plum meets a former North Vietnamese prison director.
Yes, and this director makes some pretty bold claims. He states, essentially, that Vietnam treated the POWs humanely, as well as any country would.
Which, given everything else detailed in episode 28, is just staggering. It flies in the face of Plum's entire experience.
Completely. The director claims his job, as presented in the episode, was actually to ensure humane treatment.
And he had explanations for why they moved prisoners around so much.
According to episode 28, he said it was partly to stop them forming bonds, but also to keep the U.S. guessing about the exact numbers and names of who they held.
And he actually believed his actions helped relations later on.
That's what he claims in the episode, yeah. That somehow his handling of the POW situation paved the way for better U.S.-Vietnam relations post-war. It's a unique perspective.
To put it mildly, so how did Plum react to this face-to-face, as shown in episode 28?
Well, Plum describes feeling intense frustration. This guy, the former commandant, just wouldn't acknowledge the reality of the torture, the beatings. He stuck rigidly to the official narrative, the party line.
Did that surprise Plum?
He says in episode 28, not really. It was the same kind of denial and propaganda he'd heard for 6 years as a prisoner.
But something did surprise him about the encounter.
Yeah. After all the denials, the Commandant apparently tried to be friendly, tried to establish some kind of personal connection.
Despite the history. Despite, as episode 28 points out, blatantly lying about things like beatings and claiming equal treatment.
Exactly. Right. It was bizarre. And Plum's thoughts on this in episode 28 are really profound. He talks about forgiveness.
But not for the Commandant's sake.
No, for his own. He sees forgiveness as something you do for yourself to release yourself from the burden of bitterness. It's a survival mechanism for the victim, not absolution for the perpetrator.
That's a powerful distinction.
Yeah.
And he even wonders in the episode if the Commandant maybe came to believe his own lies over time.
Right, that maybe the propaganda became his reality too. The power of self-deception, maybe.
Still, despite that tense meeting, episode 28 includes another, more positive encounter during Plum's return trip.
Yeah, the cab driver in Hanoi, he recognized Plum and the others as American and just lit up, saying, "Freedom," with real joy.
A small moment, but it speaks volumes, doesn't it? That universal desire.
It does, and it leads into Plum's final big insight in episode 28. Reflecting on those years locked up.
The line about the prison cell.
Yeah. The smallest prison cell in the world is the 8 inches between your ears, your own mind.
That's incredibly powerful, highlighting that mental freedom, hope, inner strength. Mm. That's the ultimate battlefield, maybe even more than the physical one. It's a core message in episode 28.
Totally. And his final words in that segment of the episode, "Let's get out of here," feel like such a victory. Over the physical cell, yes, but also the mental one.
So wrapping up this deep dive into episode 28, the takeaways are pretty heavy, but important. We've seen the brutal reality for POWs in Vietnam.
Yeah, but also their incredible resilience, their ingenuity, and these really complex, conflicting views, even from a former captor.
It forces you, listening to episode 28, to think about conflict, memory, how we deal with the past.
Definitely. And maybe it prompts a question for now, listening now. What kinds of prison cells might we build for ourselves? Limiting beliefs, maybe? Or old hurts we haven't let go of?
And drawing from Charlie Plum's story in episode 28, what does it really mean for each of us to get out of here, mentally as much as physically?
It's a lot to think about. It really highlights why understanding history from all sides is so crucial, even when it's difficult, and how long the road to real reconciliation can be.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, focusing on the insights from episode 28.